The knowledge of God is a theme for the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians. Let me read you a passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. I'm your host, Pastor Jeremy Wilbanks. We're so glad that you're here with us today. Six chapters later, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul touches this topic again, the knowledge of God. Listen, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The knowledge of God. Life is supposed to be oriented around the knowledge of God. The fact that God has revealed himself to us is supposed to be the foundation of everything that we do and everything that we are as children of God, as human beings, in fact. So the big question is, if life is supposed to be oriented around the knowledge of God, what does God look like? How can we know him? What are his characteristics? So the first thing that we should know about God, and this is something that is preached very often in apostolic circles, thankfully, and ought to be preached, is that God is one, that his nature is indivisible. You can't break him into parts. You can't break him into persons. He is one. And that's the first thing that we need to know about him. The second thing, and we will talk about that at other times, and I'm sure that you've heard a lot about that, but we'll cover it again. As soon as you get the fact established that God is one, you need to know something about his nature. What is his character like? And the discussion of the nature of God in theological circles is called a discussion about his attributes, or the attributes of God, the characteristics of God. And discussing God's attributes is a systematic way to talk about God's being, God's nature, God's way of interacting with human beings. So what are the attributes of God? Well, there are several ways that these are discussed, or there's at least different numbers that are discussed. I listened to a man one time say that there were 15. I believe on another occasion I heard a man say there were 16. And there's validity to all of those discussions. I would say that the way we're going to talk about them, all of the different nuances will fit into one of these categories, at least in my opinion, and at least the way we teach it. All of the little nuances of the character of God fit into these categories that we will discuss. The way we will talk about them in the next several episodes will be, we will talk about the attributes of God in two large categories. First will be the natural attributes of God, natural attributes and moral attributes. Now, the natural attributes of God are those attributes that God has and that God alone has. Nobody else has them. The devil doesn't have them. Angels don't have them. Humans don't have them. God has them, and God alone has them. Now, because we're made in the image of God, I think we have the capability to know something of what those attributes are like. But God has them, and God alone has them. And we'll, as we go through this list, we'll list them off in just a moment, and you'll be able to tell what we're talking about and why we say that. The second group, the moral attributes of God, are attributes that God has, and he expects us to have them. God is this way, and he expects us to be this way. This describes God, and he expects this to describe us as well. So let's talk about them. Let's list them out. Group number one, God's natural attributes. Let's list them. That we've divided both. Each of these groups are a set of eight, and there's one of them. When we get to I put it at the top of the moral attributes of God. And when we get there, there'll be a little discussion about it, because I think one of them is both a natural and a moral attribute. But let's list the way we would categorize the first eight natural attributes of God. Number one, the first attribute that we will put down is that God is transcendent, and we will take probably an episode per attribute and talk about them, because it warrants it. There's scripture backing. There is scriptural themes that we can find for all of these. So as we go through this list, this is kind of an introductory listing of these attributes and these characters of God. So number one is that God is transcendent, that this is God's attribute that declares that he is high above everything in the created order. He created it all, and he's above all of it. There is nothing that is his equal. Certainly nothing that's higher, but there's also nothing that is his equal. He is transcendent. He is above all of it. And then God is immanent, meaning he's not just above, he's not just transcendent, but he is immanent, meaning that he is throughout his creation. He is present within it. He is intimately involved in it. He is not detached from his creation, but he is involved in it. And you can see him, you can see his handiwork in all of it. Some people would say the thumbprint of God is everywhere. We will talk about that in a little greater measure. It's not just his thumbprint, but you can actually see his character in his creation. So we've said that God is transcendent. God is immanent. God is eternal, meaning that he has no beginning and no ending. He is the originator of everything and is unoriginated. He just has always been. He has always existed. God is infinite, meaning that he is not limited in time. He is not limited in space. There is no way in which God is limited. God is God is infinite. He is without limits. A natural attribute of God is that he is immutable, meaning that God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that can be said about Jesus Christ. In fact, the verse that I just quoted is about Jesus Christ. But God is the same. God is immutable. He does not change. And then there are the last three that we'll talk about in the natural attributes of God are some that are very well known, at least as in terms of touch topics that preaching touches upon and teaching, and you've heard them, and those are what we would call the omni attributes of God. Omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Let's touch on them for just a moment. God is omniscient. We get that word. The omni means everything or totally or completely all. If you go to Atlanta, Georgia, there is a center, a community center, a civic center, perhaps, and it's called the Omni Center, and it's where everything can be done. They do everything at the Omni. I don't know if they still do. I might be dating myself there, and it's been a while since I've been to Atlanta, but the Omni, it means you can do everything there. All things can be done there. So when we say that God is omniscient, that word scient or science at the end of it, knowledge, God has all knowledge. God knows everything. There's nothing that we do, say, are that God does not know. God is omnipresent. God is present everywhere. There is no place where God is not present. He is omnipresent. And then omnipotent, that means that God has all power. He has potent potential. God has all power. There is no power except for it originates with God. God is the originator and possessor of all power. So those are the eight, what we will call the eight natural attributes of God: transcendent, immanent, eternal, infinite, immutable, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. So those are the first. The first eight natural attributes of God. Those attributes are characteristics that God has, and God alone has them. The second group are called, many theologians call them the moral attributes of God. Let's list those. The moral attributes of God, and this is this one, and we'll spend some time on them as we go into them individually, but this first one is that God is holy, and it's considered God's attribute of attributes. This is the way theologians talk about them. This is God's holiness is his attribute of attributes. It is certainly one of those that is reiterated time and time again, where God calls himself the Holy One or the Holy One of Israel, or when Isaiah sees the heavens, when he gets a glimpse of the heavens in Isaiah chapter 6, the angels cry without ceasing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." This is the most declared attribute of God in Scripture, or the most repeated attribute of God in Scripture. The most, when God talks about himself, the thing that he says the most is that I am one. And the thing that he says second most is I am holy. I am holy. I am one and I am holy. But God's holiness, there's some discussion as to his holiness as to whether or not that should also be included in a list of his natural attributes. Because there is a sense, it's a moral attribute because God is holy and he expects us to be holy. In fact, in Leviticus, he says several times, be ye holy for I am holy, or something to that effect. I am holy and you be holy. This is the idea behind a moral attribute. And so a moral attribute is an attribute or a characteristic that God has, and he expects you and I to have it. But holiness, there's discussion as to whether or not holiness should be considered also in a listing of God's natural attributes, because there is a sense in which God is holy and man will never be holy in the same way. But when we get him, we get that holiness on the inside of us. So maybe that should just be a moral attribute. And so there's discussion there, and we'll talk about that as we get into that particular attribute, God's holiness, his characteristic of characteristics, his attribute of attributes. So God is holy. These are moral attributes. God is just. We're just giving a brief little skip across the surface of these subjects. God is just. That means he has, this would be one way to talk about it, he has established his law, and he never violates his own law. He expects us to live by it, and he never violates it. So God is just, and he expects us to be just. God is righteous, and he expects us to be righteous. He is going to do what is right every time without fail, and he expects us to be righteous. God is love. When we begin to talk about this, the greatest insight to the fact that God is love, the greatest insight into that portion of his being, that part of his character, is the New Testament term agape, or agape. And we will dive into this, and that's going to be an interesting discussion. God is merciful. Grace is an attribute of God. God is good. God is truth. God is not just true, but he is truth and the source of truth. And without him, we don't have the option to know truth at all. Thank God that we can know him. Thank God that he's revealed himself, both in general revelation and in special revelation. So if at the close of this recording today, if I were to offer up a couple of passages of scripture, and we will dive into these individually as we go forward, these, all of these attributes. But if today I were to give a couple of passages of scripture that that give a span, they stretch out the idea and list two or three, or in some cases more, attributes of God in a single reading, I would give one set of verses from the Old Testament and one couple of verses from the New Testament together. And these are very familiar passages of Scripture to anybody who spent time with the Word of God. Let me just read them to you, and let's just see if we can pick out some of these attributes. Let's read the Old Testament one first. That'll be Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 28. Let me read it to you. To whom then will ye liken me? This is God speaking. Or shall I be equal? There's none like me, saith the Holy One. There's one of the attributes. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things. This is talking about his omnipotence, the power to create, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. Again, he's talking about his omnipotence, the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power. He's a power, he's the God that puts forth power. He's omnipotent. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel? Notice this. My way, why are you saying, Jacob, that my way is hid from the Lord? God's omniscient. God knows. You're not going to hide anything from him. And my judgment is passed over from my God. No, God is just. There's nothing that's going to escape him. There's nothing that's going to fit outside of his judgment. This is an interesting, there's so many attributes that are displayed here in Isaiah 40. Listen to verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, that everlasting is the way in the Old Testament that eternity is talked about, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator, again, it's going back and touching on his omnipotence. The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding, his omniscience. He knows it all. That's if I were to give somebody a place where there were just several attributes that were just listed off, Isaiah 40 verses 25 through 28 would be one of them. Another one is a very familiar passage of scripture that just about any Pentecostal child, any apostolic young man or lady should know how to quote. And most of them do. It's Ephesians chapter 4 verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, just because we like it, says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's the initial understanding that you have to have, that God is one. God is one. He is not a multiplicity. God is one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Listen to verse 6. One God and Father of all. Listen to this. Who is above all. He is transcendent and through all. And in you all, he is immanent. So in other words, these are passages of scripture that are examples to us. They touch on God's nature, on his attributes. And it makes application. It doesn't just touch on it. It makes application. He is above all. He is through all. And he is in you all. I'm excited about the next several episodes that we're going to have talking about the nature of God. This is what we're supposed to orient our life around. What we know about God is how we're supposed to, that's the thing that's supposed to govern everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we are. That's what we're supposed to orient our life around, is the knowledge of God. I'm excited about it. I can't wait till next time. God bless.